asked Sister Bandy to do a special this morning, and she, there isn't but one Sister Bandy, and she does it in a special way. Y'all pray for her.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Bandy. Beautiful as always. And the message of the song is still true. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Appreciate every person that's present. And we do desire and interest in your prayers. We feel the need of the help of God. And I know he is able. If you have your Bible and you care to follow along as I read, turn please to the Gospel as recorded by Luke, chapter 18, and we'll begin reading at verse 35. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus saith unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now, the best of my ability, that's my lesson for today. And I pray that God will bless it to our good and to His honor and glory. I want to use as my thought today a prayer for mercy, or praying for mercy. There are a few verses of Scripture that I want to refer to before I begin about the mercy of the Lord. Brother Wheat this morning taught a good lesson in our Sunday school hour. And he mentioned the mercy of the Lord. And then the 136th Psalm. I think there are 26 verses in the chapter. And every one of them ends with this statement. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And we know that to be the truth. His mercy endureth forever. So listen to these verses. Psalms 103 and 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto the children of men. Listen to this verse from Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 12. And it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions faileth not. Verse 23 of that same chapter. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And then down in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. He said, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it is according to His mercy that He saves us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And then one more, and in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So this is just a few of the verses of Scripture that refer to the mercy of God, the mercies of God. The lesson that I read in your hearing, as I said, it's very familiar. Jesus was passing through Jericho. And as he came to the near to the city, this blind man, the Bible said a certain blind man. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, he is named Bartimaeus. He was sitting by the roadside. And of course, as usual, there were a multitude of people that were following Jesus. And he heard the commotion, and he inquired what was going on. And someone said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he began to cry out. And this was what he was saying. He was praying, in my opinion. And he was praying to the Lord Jesus. He cried out and he said, Jesus of Nazareth. No. He said, and he cried and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they that were in front of Jesus, they began to discourage him from calling out to the Lord. And they rebuked him and tried to get him to hold his peace. But he cried out the more and said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now he needed mercy. Evidently he had heard about Jesus. And he had heard about the ministry of Jesus. Now Peter in the book of Acts, he said that Jesus of Nazareth, he was a man that was approved of God. And he went about doing good, healing the sick, and raising the dead. He had heard about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that he could heal bodies. How that he could even raise the dead. And he had a need. You know, the Lord Jesus met a lot of different needs when he was here in the world. There were people that had many infirmities. They brought their burdens, as it were, their problems to the Lord. And the Lord took care of them for them. And so he went about doing good. And he had heard about this. And he had a need. He was a blind man. He could not see. And he wanted his sight to be restored unto him. Now, I don't know why he was blind. We read in the 9th chapter of the book of John about a man, or maybe it's the 8th chapter, about a man who was born blind. And there have been people that have been born blind and born deaf and with other infirmities. But nothing is too hard for the Lord Jesus. He can do exceeding and abundantly above all that we might ask or think. And not only does he have the ability to do that, but he has the desire to do that. He desires to be compassionate. He is compassionate, and he desires to show compassion and to help people in their time of need and with the problems that they have. Well, Bartimaeus' problem was that he was blind, and he wanted to receive his sight. And so he began to pray. His prayer was, Jesus of Nazareth, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The Lord Jesus heard his cry. And he stopped by the wayside. And he called this man unto him. Now I want to make this point. Possibly, and I believe that this is the truth. He was on his way back to Jerusalem, where he was going to be crucified. This was, as far as the Bible is concerned, I believe, the last time that he ever passed that way. He was passing through Jericho, and he never returned to Jericho again. And so Bartimaeus, I was crying out to him. And Jesus stopped. And he said, bring this man to me. Bring him to me. And when they brought him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? I want to mention this too. We go back to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. There's an account of this. And in the account that Mark gave, Jesus said, bring him to me. And those that went to get him, they said, the Lord is calling for thee. The Lord is calling for thee. And that shows, you know, the compassion of the Lord Jesus. That shows the willingness of the Lord Jesus to meet the needs of people that will cry out unto him and will ask for mercy. Now, mercy is, I don't know if I can give you a real good definition of mercy or not. But mercy is showing compassion. And mercy, when applied to the hardened lives of people, it means receiving favor that otherwise that you wouldn't have received. And the Lord was merciful to Bartimaeus, and he called for him. I really believe that as the song we sing, Jesus is tenderly calling today. I believe that the Lord Jesus is still calling for people that have needs and that will reach out to him to come. And I believe that he is willing to help them. So Bartimaeus, they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus simply asked, Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He recognized him as being Lord. You know, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of heaven and earth. And he has all power. It has been given to him of his Father. He said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And he had the power. And so Jesus simply said, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. Now I want you to think with me about this, about the proper way to come to Jesus. You know, recognizing Jesus as being Lord. Recognizing Jesus as having power. Recognizing Jesus as being compassionate and willing to meet our needs and supply our needs. And so he came, he recognized who Jesus was. He called him Jesus. Jesus means Savior. He was the son of David, a descendant of David. And he met all of the requirements to be the Savior of the world. You know, Jesus said in the 10th chapter of the book of John, he said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, I giveth life unto the sheep. I give eternal life. But before that, in the very first verse of that chapter, it tells us I may have to go over and look at it. I usually do. But that's all right. We'll just take our time and we'll try to bring this out since the Lord laid it on my heart. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he said, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now, the point I wanted to make, Jesus met every requirement to be the shepherd of the sheep. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled all the types and shadows of the Old Testament. Not anybody else could do that. I want you to know. No one else could have qualified to be the shepherd of the sheep. Only Jesus, because He alone met all the requirements of the Old Testament to be our Savior and our Lord. And He is the shepherd of the sheep. And He does care for His sheep. And He does hear their voice when they call. And so Bartimaeus was calling out to the Lord Jesus for mercy. And he had this opportunity. And I said a while ago, this, as far as I know, and as far as the Bible reveals to us, this was the last time that he passed through Jericho. And I tell you, Bartimaeus took advantage of that, cried out to Jesus, cried out for mercy. And I think he recognized nobody else could do this for him. Only Jesus could do it. And he cried out to him. And they said, don't cry out like that, And he cried out the more. This was the most important thing to him at this point in his life, getting the attention of the Lord Jesus, who could restore him to his sight. I want to just pause just for a moment. In the 19th chapter of the book of Luke, we read about as Jesus was passing through, there was a man, he was of short stature, and he had heard about Jesus, and he wanted to see Jesus. And he couldn't see him for the crowd. He was short, and he just couldn't see him. And so he ran ahead, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. Now, he was a publican, which meant that he was a sinner, which meant that probably he was crooked. He was a tax collector, and his own, very own words imply that he had taken from people more tax than they owed. And nobody told Jesus that Zacchaeus was up that tree, but he was, and Jesus knew it. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, Jesus knows where you are, and He knows what you're doing. And He knew that he was up there, and he stopped, and he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I'm going home with you today." Now, that's my paraphrase of that, but that's what it meant. I'm going home with you. I must abide at thy house today. And Zacchaeus came down and took Jesus home with him. When he got home, he began to confess. He said, "Lord, if I have taken from any man..." Let me see if I can... 19th chapter. And this is what he said. Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. And he said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Now, again, if this was the last time Jesus passed through Jericho, this would have been the last time, that Zacchaeus could have seen the Lord and could have had the Lord pay him a visit. And so what I'm saying is that it is really important when you have the opportunity and when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart about your need, whatever it may be, but especially about salvation, it is important for you to begin praying and asking the Lord to have mercy upon you and to save you because He's the only one that can do it. And so Jesus said, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house. He repented of his sins and he repented to the Lord Jesus. How he expressed, his sorrow for what he had done. And he was asking for forgiveness of his sins. And Jesus forgave him. He showed mercy unto him. And he said, salvation today has come to your house. And he said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I want you to keep these examples in mind. And I want to go back to the 18th chapter of the book of Luke. And I want to give you one more example of how to come to Jesus. You know, we read in the Bible in this 18th chapter and beginning at the ninth, I'm not sure it's the ninth verse. Yes, at the ninth verse. And he spake this parable. Now, this is a parable, but it does not, it is no less the truth. I want to emphasize that. This is a parable, it is an example, but it shows the truth, and that's why Jesus spoke the parable as an example to make it easier to understand. And he said, two men went up into the temple to pray. And he said, the one was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. Now, the Pharisee was self-righteous. You know, Jesus said, you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. For what they do to be seen of men. And so he said, they'll stand on the street corners in their long garments that are really decorated, festive, you know. And he said, they'll make long prayers. And he said, they do that to be seen of men, so men will praise them, you know. This Pharisee, he made his prayer. He didn't ask for mercy. He didn't ask for salvation. He didn't ask for, the blessings of God upon him. He just wanted God to know what a good man he was, you know. And he prayed thus, the Bible says. And he said he prayed within himself. Now, I don't know whether God was listening to him or not, but he was listening to himself. He was praying thus within himself. And he said, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this old publican over here. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now listen, those things are good if they're done in the right way and for the right purpose. But you know, the Bible says that in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, he said to the Pharisees, he said, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. He said, this you should have done. It was the right thing to do because it was according to the law that they lived under. And it was the right thing to do. But he said, you have omitted the weightier matter. There are things that are important. And then there are things that are more important. And being saved is the most important of anything that you'll ever do. And so, he just bragged on himself. You know, and he was so proud of what he had done and what he was doing. And you know, pride, the Bible says, he that exalteth himself will be brought down. But he that humbleth himself, he shall be exalted. And so we have the example of the man who exalted himself. And now here's an example of the man who humbled himself. And this is what it said of the publican. It said that the publican standing afar off. Evidently, he didn't enter into the temple, you know. He's probably stood on the outside. And it said he would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven. He had his head bowed. And it says he smote upon his breast, which indicated that he had a burdened heart. You know, he was troubled. He was burdened. It says he would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, smote upon his breast, and this is what he said. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And these are the words of Jesus now in the parable. Again, I wouldn't misrepresent the truth for nothing in the world. But Jesus spoke this parable as an example as to how to come to Jesus, or how to come to God. And he said, I tell you, this man, this publican, that with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he called on the Lord and he asked him to have mercy upon him. And he said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now the word justification, without going into a lot of detail, it simply means this. He was right with God when he went home. He was justified. He received mercy. The Lord forgave him of his sins, and he had mercy upon him, and he was right in the sight of God. Now, it's important for us to, you know, live right before men, you know. And there are a lot of people I'm sure would have looked at Pharisee, you know, and said, he is really a good man, you know. And maybe would have honored him for the way that he prayed and the way that he looked and the way that he talked, you know. But he was like the painted sepulcher. It looked beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, he was full of dead men's bones. He was corrupt. He was corrupt. But this old publican, he went home and he was right with God. He was right with God. As I was praying and studying last night, and reading these verses of Scripture, a song came to my mind. I remember us singing it when I was a child, a young person at church. When I read there where Jesus stopped and he said, bring that man to me. Bring that man to me. And they brought him. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? So I copied this song. I'm not going to sing it. And I know that's a good sigh of relief for all of you. But I want you, the song is entitled, Jesus, I Come. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Out of my shame, for failure and loss. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy glorious gain of the cross. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. I want to tell you, you can really benefit by coming to Jesus. Be the best thing you ever did. It'll be worth more to you in life, perhaps than anything else. And it's the only thing to die with. Jesus, I come. One more verse. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb. I hope Sister Wiley won't mind me sharing this with you. I was talking to her this morning. She said, I almost choked to death this week. She said, I was gasping for breath. Nobody there with her, nothing she could do, you know. She fell, sat across the couch, you know, gasping for breath. But she said, I just had this wonderful feeling. You know, if I die, I'm just going to heaven, you know. For a child of God. We dread death. None of us want to die. Oh, but listen. Listen. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. You can get rid of that fear and that dread of dying without God. Into the joy and pleasure thine own, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the flock thy love both enfold, doth enfold. Ever thy glorious face to behold, Jesus I come. Now I'm almost finished, but I do want to say one or two more things about coming to Jesus. The way you come to Jesus is humbly. You humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And the Bible said, He will lift you up. And you come to Jesus through prayer, by calling upon Him, by asking Him for mercy and forgiveness. You come to Jesus believing, trusting. The Bible talks about believing in Jesus and trusting in Jesus. And that means you are depending on Jesus to do for you what you're asking Him to do. You trust Him with all of your heart. And you come with commitment. You know, when you come to Jesus, you know, you want salvation. You want to be forgiven of your sins. Paul made this statement about commitment. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, I am persuaded. And that means fully and totally convinced. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. Against that day. Commitment. When you come to Jesus, you just commit your soul to His keeping. You trust Him to forgive you and to take your soul into His care and His keeping. And He surely will do that. But not only that, you know, we ought to commit our lives to His service as well. Need to be willing, you know, when you come to Jesus, say, Lord, I want you to forgive me. I need forgiveness. Have mercy on me. But you need to be willing to serve Him too. You need to be willing to take up the cross. I've experienced over the years a lot of confessions, a lot of professions. And you know, I'm not going to say that I doubt. You know, if somebody tells me I've been saved and they tell me a time and a place when the Lord saved them, I don't figure that I have the right to say they haven't been. But you know, a lot of them went their way. You know, they never took up the cross. They never lived for Jesus after they'd been saved. And I tell you, I really believe that trusting in Jesus includes a commitment, committing your soul to His keeping, and committing your life to His service. Trusting in Jesus, you know. So you come humbly before Him. You come asking for forgiveness and mercy. You come committing your soul to His care and keeping, and your life to the service of the Lord. And I really believe that touches the heart of God. And I believe that every sinner that will come to Jesus in that way can find mercy and find forgiveness. I pray God will bless the message today. You know, I can't look in people's hearts. I don't know who's lost and who's not. Brother Howard Taylor, Brother William Howard, he said one time, I believe he's the one that said it, said he had cried a lot of crocodile tears, you know, over people that said they had got saved, you know. And he rejoiced with them, you know, and then later found out they wasn't saved, you know. So it's more than emotion. That's what I'm saying. It's more than emotion. I tell you, salvation is real. It's the gift of God. And I believe you know when you get saved. I believe you know when you get lost. We've got young people with us today. I don't know that they are accountable, but I know that they're very intelligent young people. And I know that they are getting old enough that they can understand the gospel address. You know? And I do believe that God speaks to the heart. God convicts. And I want you, when you feel that conviction and that fear grabs you, you know, I'm not right with God. I want you to seek the Lord then. Right then. Just make that surrender. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. He's waiting for you. I promise you that. Jesus died for our sins so that we could be saved. I pray God will bless the message today. I know it's simple. I know you've heard it 100 times before. I believe there's just as much power in it today as there ever was. I hope God will touch your heart and you'll come to Jesus. Just like the songwriter said, out of my sorrow and grief, Jesus, I come. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come. And He is a sufficient Savior. He's a sufficient Savior. I want us to stand and sing. Today, if you're lost, and the Word of God has touched your heart today, and you know you're lost, and you need to be saved. Won't you come praying, Lord, have mercy on me and save me? Will you come while we stand and sing? I want to give you that opportunity. Come to Jesus.